done, as indeed I am, and so many of us were, known as Ronnie. But as you know, she was without question a national treasure. She was an operatic soprano, but she was without question a real national treasure. She was a wonder. And so many people doff a cap in her general direction because of her great ability as a voice teacher. She was just wonderful. You might have heard the news, but even if you haven't, we'll share it with you in a minute. But first, Judy Gahan's on the line. Judy, who is the daughter of the great Veronica Dunn? Judy, good morning.
Good morning, and so nice to talk to you this morning.
And you too. You're not in Boston as we speak, are you?
I am not. I'm not. I'm here in Dublin enjoying this wonderful weather we're having.
It's like this all the time here.
Oh, I believe so. Having a nice glass of Prosecco in the garden is just perfect when the sun is shining.
Absolutely lovely. Well, now, look, first things first, we want to make, I suppose, as best we can. I've always said with Veronica Dunn that if she lived in another country, she'd be a dame or a lady, or she'd have a list of titles around her name. But she was still greatly loved here. She's only gone recently. She was an absolute joy. What was she like at home? Can I ask you that question, if you don't mind?
Oh, you can. I'm sure you can. Both my parents, I would describe as people with huge personalities. You know, the type of people that... Yeah. They walk in a room and for some reason they're magnets to everybody around them because, you know, Mum had that ability to be so positive, right? I mean, that's one of the energies she shared with everybody, like, get on with it, be positive, show your best front. And, you know, you never went into the bathroom, you know, after Mum, you'd be there hours waiting because she did her stage thing. She went in there, dressed herself to the nines, the makeup, the whole nine yards, and she went out that door, even up until she was 91, dressed for her performance, which was an opera star,
yes.
I am a teacher, I am, you know, the best thing on two legs, and out she went dressed to the nines. And I think that was an infectious ability that she had to share with anyone who met her. They were drawn to her.
Yes, absolutely.
And same as my dad. Like, dad was, you know, you leave dad alone somewhere before you knew it, there was a crowd around him because they were great fun.
I loved having her in the studio with me here because she was absolutely, firstly, she was shameless.
Yeah,
she was shameless, wasn't she?
And if you want a good one, I remember as a kid, my father used to drive Jags, and she crashed every one of them. But she went up to Letterkenny to I think she was doing a concert up there, and I don't know what she did to the Jag, but she showed up back in the Priest Mini, and my poor father went out to go to work, and he says, "Where's my Jag?" And she says, "Well, it had a baby overnight, so I brought the baby back."
What a character! Oh, she was wonderful. But she would, here with her sometimes, and she would be guarded enough, but she'd let you know what you thought of something or somebody's performance or whatever, and it was so funny because all you could do was laugh because there was nowhere to go with it, and it was live radio, and I loved her for that. I thought she was such a great character. I really enjoyed her company.
She'd have that twinkle in her eye, like, oh, she just upset the apple cart a little bit enough that you'd be like, oh, God, what's next? What's she going to come out with next? Like,
That's right. But she was a joy. She truly was a joy. Yeah, and I'm glad to hear she was like that at home as well.
I would say, you know, entertaining in this house, she had her standards the same as she would have had with her singers.
Did she have a great thing for the horses?
Oh, for God's sake. You know, when I think about both my parents' upbringing, they lived a life of tremendous privilege. I mean, they were out there hunting. She had her own pony. She was in Algiers when she was like 15 or 16. She was on cruises. They lived a life. I mean, talk about the roaring 20s. Dad was a builder. My father's people were very big odorist. They had a very, very fun, comfortable life.
And a comfortable bed, too, if they're O'Dearest.
Yeah, that's right. O'Dearest for the rest of your life. But they definitely, you know, they were invited to a lot of things because they brought fun. They were great fun.
Yes.
They used to crack jokes. They had a great sparring between the two of them so that if you had a dinner party, there was always fun and jokes and crack going on that I find is kind of somewhat missing today. Maybe it's just the culture has changed a little bit.
Well, yes.
But they entertained didn't in a way that was so, like, I used to look at her and go, do we really need to have to put this out? It's my house and we're doing it my way.
I love that.
I have to wash the Chris. I don't care. We're doing it my way. These are my guests and they're coming to my home.
Terrific. You know? Terrific.
Yeah, totally, totally.
Well, now, listen, there is, as a fellow said, the family silver. What's happening here is that her musical memorabilia is being gifted to the Royal Irish Academy of Music.
Correct.
And tell me what we're talking about here. Because I saw your photograph in the paper, and looking resplendent, and the piano.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
So I would say every student did their lily lallies on that piano.
Yes.
There's stories. I mean, there are stories where poor dad would be up in the bed upstairs and he was bold and she'd bring in a tenor to do their lolly lallies on that piano at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
To annoy him.
Lift them out of upstairs, you know.
Yes.
But, you know, I think my brother and I decided that, you know, there was such a rich history there and there was so much that other students could use. Because, you know, if you think about it, Mum has trained so many singers who now are teachers themselves,
yes,
teaching new students, you know, her technique and her style of singing, which is very much bel canto. So we looked around and we said, well, what are we going to do with all of this stuff? And Mum was about use it, give it, you know. And we kind of both said, let's just let the Academy see if they would be interested in being able to utilize all of,
yes,
this stuff. So then it kind of went, well, she's all these degrees, she's all these awards. You know, it's a journey of, to me, a remarkable journey for a woman in Ireland. In the 60s, she was working when no one else was working outside the home in volume.
That's right. And she was traveling too. She was away.
Yes, exactly. She was in Covent Garden.
Yes.
She was singing and went to the States. Came back a platinum blonde. My father nearly died when that came in through the door.
Who is this woman?
Exactly. But we decided that we would pull it all together. And, you know, Deborah has been fantastic in the college because she saw the richness of what we wanted to give in there. So, we want a plaque of that, you know, those teachers who are going to be using that piano know that the likes of, you know, Cara has sang at the piano and Celine Byrne has sang at that, Angela Feeney, Dan Murphy, you name it, they have all sung at that piano. And there's many other characters who have played at that piano.
Yeah, so that...
And John O'Connor's played on that piano. So the list is tremendous.
It doesn't come much better than that, does it?
It does. So we felt very important that that would go in and be used, to be used.
Well, that's a great thing, that the music lives on and her memory through that lives on,
exactly,
which is vitally important. Let's have a little bit of O Mio Bambino Caro, because it's wonderful. This is her Sing It Live, by the way. Mm-hmm. Puccini, of course. This is the late Veronica Dunn, God rest her.
One.
There she is, Ronnie Dunn, and Omeo Bambino Caro. What else do you have? You have recordings, of course, photographs.
We do,
the photographs must be wonderful, aren't they? See, that's
great. We have photographs of her in performance in Covent Garden.
Wonderful.
We have photographs of her with Joan Sutherland. We have awards that she received, you know, all of those different lifetime awards, yeah, doctorates. We have photographs when she was on the National Concert Hall, the first board of the National Concert Hall. She acquired funding for the organ, you know, in that National Concert Hall. People may not know that.
I didn't know that,
but
no.
She actually got the funding from an American woman by the name of Owsley, whose husband was the first consulate general from the United States to Ireland.
Wow.
And she met him in, through me in Dallas, and she was able to get her to fund that organ in his name.
No, I didn't know that.
So she, in her own way, has touched many environments of music, and that's an important factor. So she was on that board, I think, for two sessions, maybe.
Yeah.
And we have the first pictures of that board that we're sending in. So I think for a young singer, just seeing, like, wow, this woman started. She sang, you know, we've got some of the playbooks from the Covent Garden. We have pictures of her, you know, on the stage with the chorus singing. We have, you know, it's just a nice visual journey of,
yes,
someone's career.
Also, I think the fact is, sorry to interrupt you, but the fact is she kept going. Like,
mm-hmm,
she was still teaching.
After Marty, she used to come out to me every summer for like 26 years.
Over in Boston.
She'd arrive out in July, I think it was the end of July, and she had,
yeah,
this twitch in her eye. And she'd look like, all right, you've had a great year, you're wrecked now. And she'd come in and she'd sleep in the first few days. And we had a pool in our back garden. And out she would go and literally rest and swim in that pool like it was her own private spa. And then come the end of August, the new diary would be produced, and she'd go and she'd get all of her new gear for the next year teaching, deck her hair out, and she'd go back looking an absolute $1 million.
See, I think that's you were, as the fellow said, you were giving her great heart to come back and look $1 million, which,
mm-hmm,
was wonderful that you had that relationship too, and,
yeah,
that that, you know, mother and daughter, that you were so close, which is wonderful.
We were very close.
Yeah.
Talk very frequently, and I was very lucky. My boys came to live here when they went to college. They had a unique relationship with her. She used to call them her boys, and she used to roar at them, get up here for your Sunday dinner, and you know, but I wasn't in the way, so she had her own relationship
with them, which
is very different, you know.
Yeah,
and even,
sure,
like, you know, Marty, she was the type of person that was your champion, but she was very straight. Like, Mum didn't mince words. Like, if you're going to do something, do it. And back in 2018, I decided to be, you know, to start a company to solve a problem with medication safety with her generation, because she was screwing up her meds and getting herself in trouble. And I came to her and I said, I think I'm going to do this. And, well, she lifted me out of it and said, there's no thinking. Just get out there and do it.
Good for you.
And she needed a few bob. Like, I said, but I'm too old. You're not too old. Get out there. And we would talk every week about what I was doing with the company, where we were at, how I got funding. And my one sad thing is, you know, I wanted it in Ireland before she died, so she could have it on her phone. And we weren't able to get Abbott HX launched until August in Ireland. So.
And this is, do you want to briefly tell us what it is that...
So, like, people like my mom was on, like, 10, 12 meds a day, right? So they have a hard time remembering the dose, let alone the, you know, the name, the generic name or whatever they're on. So I wanted to create a very simple app that patients could download onto their phone. And in the United States, it's very different here. They're a lot more sophisticated. We can actually go into their health records in the different hospital systems, and we can pull out their medication list. And the whole idea is that we're going to give that patient on their phone their medication list, and I, as a carer, could actually get a copy of it. I could see it, and I could say, Mum has suddenly showed up in James's. Oh, James's, do you have an email address that I could send my mum's meds to? And I can immediately send them. Like yesterday, I went to see somebody for my back, and they said, do you have a med list? I said, do you have your email list? And she said, an email. She said, yeah. I said, fine, come on in. I'll show you what I got here. Went in, put in their email address, and I just sent them my med list. So I didn't have to write something down.
I see.
I can share it anywhere in the world. Carers can see it, and it allows people to be safe, because we don't know what you're taking when you took it, and that's where errors happen. So it was an idea that I had because she got herself into trouble. I said, I'm going to fix this.
Good for you.
To 2.5 years later, it's now in the States. We're going forward with a big, huge pilot now in a large hospital system in Massachusetts, which is very, very exciting.
Oh, that's
really
very
exciting.
But you sound like you have to go get out there and do it of your mother. You learnt it at her knee. That's exactly who you are.
I call her and I'd slightly be complaining and she'd say, oh, get on with it, for God's sake. And I remember, do you remember Celine Byrne? I always laugh at her. She got into the Maria Callas final and she called Ronnie, yes, thrilled with herself. And Ronnie said, well, don't call me back till you win it.
Well, that worked out.
But that was her. She just had a very high standard, and I want, as we donate this products, all of these things into the Royal Irish Academy, that people see that if you have the drive,
yes,
if you have the ability to really knuckle down and work hard, because that's what it takes. It takes grit.
It also takes talent, and she had that in spades as well.
Absolutely.
That's the important thing
to
say.
But you can make it. You can do it if you have the grit and the work and the talent.
And a modicum of luck along the way too.
You make your own luck. My mother always told me that.
Yeah.
You make your own luck. And the other thing is, of course, our competition is coming up now.
Well, now that's the thing, isn't it?
Which is a huge milestone, yeah. It's going to be on
the 10th.
It's the 10th one, and it's going to be in January on the 22nd to the 25th. And they're going to start live auditions in Europe, I think, next month or November. They're going to do that. So it's really like she is living on her legacy.
Oh, there's no question about it.
And it's up to all of her pals, all of her supporters now, to get out and support her legacy.
Yes, exactly. So, and Phyllis said to keep the dream alive, because that's the trick.
That's right.
To let people know, by the way, it is the Veronica Dunn International Singing Competition, which is vdiscompetition.com, if you want to get details. We'll be talking about it here anyway. We won't let go of this one, as you can appreciate, Judy. Listen, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Just to let people know again, you're talking about scores and recordings, memorabilia, photographs of her life, and that famous grand piano at the Royal Irish Academy of Music. It's a wonderful thing you've done. Obviously, you've kept a few things for yourselves. You must have.
My brother and I have kept things that meaning to him.
It's your brother, Peter, isn't it?
Peter. He's kept some. We've both kept things that are of meaning to us.
Of course.
There's a great picture of my mother bringing a horse in when she was about 11, which is very personal to him because she was always so proud of him. Like, he went his own direction and he breeds national race horses with his wife, National Hunt.
Yes.
And that was, she loved when she'd hear the horses would win because she also loved to back the horses at the race.
Yes.
She was a wonder. She put bets on the side. She had somebody on the inside going in, putting her bets on. But she, you know, was very proud of their success, and because she liked each one of us to have our own identity. You know, she never pulled us into her world. It was more like, you go out and find your world and I'll sponsor you and, you know, support you every way I can.
Exactly, yeah.
I'll have my world, which was very healthy
indeed. Well, listen, it's been a joy. You're heading back to Boston, I take it?
I am heading back on Sunday for a couple of weeks, and then I come back again, I think mid-September a little longer time then. Yeah.
When the Americans let us in, I'll be over to have a go at your pool, and hopefully we'll have an else.
Absolutely. We provided the suntan, the wine, the whole year.
No wonder she went to you for the summer.
and the trip and the boats, and we take her down to the US Open tennis and the Met and the whole nine. Oh yeah, she got a great time over there.
Well, and I'm sure you miss her madly.
A day doesn't go by that I don't think, well, what would you be thinking now, Mum? You know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, listen, Judy, thank you so much for talking to us this morning, and I think we'll finish up with Ave Maria, Verdi's Ave Maria,
from
Ronnie Dunn. God bless you, and thank you, and safe journey.
Yes. Bye bye.
Bye bye. God bless.
Bye bye.
Ave Maria, piena di grazia, benedetta fra le spose, le vergini sei tu. Sia benedetto il frutto, benedetta, di tue materne viscere, Gesù. Thank you.
Listening to Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM.